There are times this week, and we know that Charlie often called himself in front of the most paganistic people that would come to the microphone as he would invite them for conversation. And he would often say that he himself was a sinner who needed to be saved. He did not hold himself higher in that sense, but that he knew that what was going on in the course of this country, and I know that there are probably theologians and people that will debate this and the mixture of politics and religion and salvation, whatever it may be, but nonetheless, it's the way God chose to use it. But this week, in all of my life, I have never seen or heard anything like this. I'm sure people felt that when JFK or RFK or Martin Luther King Jr., which has some problematic things in itself, but nonetheless, a nation being rocked in such a way. And Charlie Kirk, when he was shot, it really was a shot heard around the world. I was surprised that in 17 different countries, people were going to U.S. embassies and that they were holding vigils all around the world and watching England, the rally that was there in Charlie Kirk's name, holding up his picture with at least 110 to 150,000 people present. And as you know, that England is going through its own political hurricane at this point, and so is much of the world. And even in Korea, many marching, holding Charlie Kirk's picture up in American flags and Korean flags, and in their broken English saying, "We are Charlie." We look at this and you think, a young man of 31, how does he have such an impact around the world? 31. When Charlie was 18, he had an idea of starting a Turning Point, an organization, and was meeting all kinds of people at 18 years old and filled with. He was a force to be reckoned with, they often said. Energetic in every way and just motivated. And the idea of going on universities and bringing students around to debate the issues, but all just underneath lying under that was an opportunity to give the gospel and to talk of righteousness. There are those that say that Charlie was a martyr for our country and freedoms we hold so dear. We do. We hold them dear in our constitutions. But others said he was a martyr for Jesus Christ. And because of the underlying foundation, and I find it interesting that in his debate, oftentimes with young people that were, frankly, so messed up in their views and paganistic in their views, they would always lead him down. And I went down the rabbit hole this week to figure this out, to make sure, because I don't want to state anything that's wrong. But one of the things that they would say to Charlie was, "And where are you getting all your morality and your ideals from?" And they knew when they asked that question that he would say the word of God. Aha, you seek to enslave us under the bondage of God. That was the accusation. His retort was always, no, it is the freedom that we can experience under the word of God. This is where everything rises from. It's where it rises from. And whether you disagree or not, it doesn't matter. It's where it rises from, out of the Word of God. As we've been going through the Ten Commandments and understanding this. But around the world, Charlie will always be known for as a martyr for freedom. And free speech and the Constitution and other countries are taking up this banner and using his image. And we would even look at it and say no, because the foundation of it was that he was a martyr for Jesus Christ and the understanding of where he got it from. So it's interesting that you can bring those two together and make them one. That out of the Word of God, That out of the understanding, let me say this, please don't get your opinions from the world and just listen to continued garbage. You're not going to get anywhere. You get it from the Word of God, the foundation of it. What about who's a man and who's a woman? The Word of God's pretty clear, and so is nature. What about abortion? That when Charlie would often debate young people and saying, it begins at conception. Is that a human being being developed? And you're still being developed. You're still growing. And we're always in that development process. When the sperm meets the egg, right off, the DNA begins to activate and says if your eyes are going to be blue or your hair is going to be brown or blonde, whatever it may be. And he would make, because the Bible is filled with reason. The Bible is reasonable. In every single way. The Bible is filled with life. And to be able to walk into public discourse and even walk into the lines with people you know that hate you. And they will despise you for what you were about to say. I don't know many people that can do that. Even Christians. It's not that we look to go and say, I need to find a way to be a martyr. That's just stupid. But there's simply a way in which saying, whether it is God's will or not, I need to walk into this. And it starts with loving my family. It starts with those who may, even an extended family may disagree, but you love them and you have that conversation. And Peter will show you how to have that conversation. But we understand that Charlie was actually preaching the true freedom of souls, in which he said over and over, our lives, our souls and our lives is by faith in Jesus Christ. And he often proclaimed, he goes, it's Jesus Christ that changed my life. It's Jesus Christ that all of my life is founded upon. Someone asked them a question, what do you want to be remembered for when you die? He said, the courageousness of my faith. The boldness of my faith. And then he said this, my faith, and we know what he meant in Jesus Christ, but my faith is everything. It's at the foundation of the being of who I am. As I read Matthew 5, 10 through 12, when Jesus said, blessed are you when others persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven, and Charlie's reward in heaven today is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were with you. Charlie often talked about things that many people would call politics. When they called it politics, I would not put it in that category, politics. It was based on morality and look what we've done. Biblical morality and the understanding of abortion. Is the murder of children really about debate in politics and which party gets the majority, whether it's going to be or not, really? That's not up for debate. When was murder ever up for debate? It's not politics, abortion. Thou shalt not murder. That's what it's about. It's God's creation. It's the imago Dei. That is the beauty. You're not eliminating a puppy in the womb. You're not eliminating a tree. And the people that out of their very mouths will say, save the trees, save the forest, have no problem eliminating a human life right out of the womb. These were the arguments. The LGBTQ. Taking that straight on into the public square, into the university. God designed us one man and one woman in holy covenant matrimony with one another before him and the witnesses. And all this stuff is other stuff is just sexual idolatry. Yes, before you say it, Charlie was friends with many people that were gay and in that lifestyle that are conservative. I don't get it, but nonetheless, there it is. But he would often even tell them, yeah, your lifestyle is wrong. It's not of God. And these people that were gay and conservative would often say, we sat around the dinner table with he and his wife, and we had a talk, and one particular one was a gay married man. But Charlie would just talk about it. As we sometimes, and he said, and yet this gay man said of Charlie, and yet when we were done with the conversation, I will tell you, he was the most gracious, kind person, and we were just friends. Nothing happened. But I knew exactly where he stood on the Bible. This country was built on the ethics of the Word of God. And there are so many times we need to stop saying that he died for political reasons. He died because when I went through and through and through, there were certainly things that you could debate back and forth, even as Christians, but 9.5 times out of 10, he was debating righteousness. He was bringing, and by the way, Charlie never said that he brought in his own opinions. Charlie said, I brought the truth. There's a big difference. Your lifestyle is an opinion. And Charlie said, no, it's the truth. As one man with a full beard and glasses and stuff in his hair, wearing the ugliest pink dress that I think any woman would be ashamed of, and he was rather large, and talking with Charlie, and people were laughing, but I was amazed at how gracious he was even to this man. But in those talking points, and again and again and again, we know that at every rally, Charlie always talked about his faith in Jesus Christ and the foundation to the crowds. And at this particular one, there were 3,000 people there, including his wife, I believe one or two of his children, one child definitely, but maybe both. They were in the crowd and close up. And it brought back memories of the shooter that was on the roof that somehow Secret Service missed, that attempted to shoot Donald Trump. And if he hadn't, by God's divine grace, turned his head just at the right time, it would be a different story. And the fireman, the dad that was there with his wife and kids, and was shot and killed even that day. And it brought back the trauma memories that, once again, it's a roof. And it's somebody with a satanic, demonic ideology. It's been said that he didn't grow up in that kind of home. And I can't tell if it was a Mormon home or evangelical home. I don't know. But apparently his father was a sheriff, and retired sheriff, and was well-known, well-regarded. And apparently this young man grew up in a solid home from all appearances. But when he went off to college, I got to say, folks, I'll be honest with you, you got to be careful. Somehow he, through the story, just became radicalized through some things, and to where he engraved on even the bullets, anti-fascist, because again, once again, Hitler is our president, and anybody that elected him are Nazis. That is the rhetoric. And I actually turned someone into the FBI this week because they were online. I was researching some things, and this man was basically celebrating the death of a Nazi today, which was Charlie Kirk. And those that follow him in his Judeo-Christian ideas are also Nazis, and it's good to kill bad Nazis. And so go do it. That, folks, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. And so to think that everybody is shocked and everybody's grieving, we would be wrong. There are many people today that are celebrating over his dead body and laughing and mocking and doing all of these things. We are, and many unsafe people, we're just repulsed by that. And yes, we experience sadness, but we also experience anger. And I think at times a righteous anger. Not a hate, but an anger that says, what are we doing? Where have we come? Who are these people? How could your conscience go so low as to celebrate anybody and laugh over anybody's death? So we know we have to narrow it down today. Because we have to be careful in the sense of, quote unquote, there are these fears. Are you on the left as a Democrat? Then we've got you cornered. We know who you are. And they would say of us, are you on the right and you're a Republican? One of those MAGA people? Ah, we know who you are. We've got you cornered in this divide. And I would call us to say, that's not our argument. Our argument is to preach Christ and Him crucified and to bring the gospel into every aspect of this on both sides. And to know that we can preach Christ, get this, in this America, we could still preach Christ with freedom. Yes, Charlie was shot and he was killed over those principles and over that gospel, but we know that we have the freedom to go out and talk to people and have a discussion with them and talk of Jesus Christ. Praise God, because so many of our brothers and sisters run for their lives as soon as they open their mouth. And so when we look at this, and I look at a life like him at 31 taken out, and I keep thinking, have I been that bold? Have I been that concerned? Have I just in my small world, in my teeny tiny world? Or am I just too afraid of certain things? And, well, if I go down that road, then this and this and this will happen to me. And I'm really afraid what will happen to me if I proclaim Christ in front of this group of people or that group of people and begin to proclaim righteousness in those things. We live in fear often, and Peter addresses this. And so as we see this and we begin to understand it and we begin to, our muddled minds begin to come out of shock and those things saying, what happened here? And when we get clearer understanding of what exactly was happening here, that this was over words. And people have often said, even this week, you know, it's not the words that killed, it's the gun that killed. Well, let me tell you, we've been over words, haven't we, in James chapter 3. It'll cause a forest fire in the souls of men. Words is what ideologues come from, and words are what make people, and mindsets is what make people take up guns and kill hearts. So we saw that this week, and we wonder, even as believers in Christ specifically, how are we to respond to these kind of things when the world more and more and more don't preach to me the gospel? Don't preach to me sin and tell me that I'm wrong and that way, the way I'm living is wicked. Don't you dare say these things. How dare you say these things? These are not just people that say, hey, you know what, Dave, I disagree, so have a good day. That's not what's going on. It is, we need to take out every aspect. And this is why so many legislators are protecting criminals in cities. This is why a murderer who was arrested 14 times and takes the beautiful life of a young Ukrainian woman who was fleeing war to come here and only to be murdered on a transportation system. So we look at this and we wonder, what is our response here as believers in Christ? And Peter eloquently says this. So number one, our response in suffering and persecution. Number one, our responsibility. What is my responsibility as a believer? I vote conservative. I vote Republican. But as a believer, besides that, what is my responsibility in suffering and persecution? He says in verses 8 and 9, finally, all of you, have unity of mind first. Get on the same page with Christ. Get on the same page with the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith in Him alone, crucified and risen again, and sitting at the right of the hand of the Father. And Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and He dictates this world. That we are to have sympathy. Yes, for even those that are lost in the darkness of sin, our souls should have sympathy for them. And by the way, I did pray for that young man in prison today. He is a young man who is lost. And somehow his mind got twisted into the deepest darkness that you and I could not even begin to comprehend. And I've seen many people that are in prison that have come to Jesus Christ and have been saved and repented of their sin. And they were murderers and rapists and kidnappers, but they gave their lives to Jesus Christ and they were radically changed. And so does he. And so does this young transgender boy, who his boyfriend, who was changing into a woman and being changed into a woman. Salvation. We need to have sympathy on these souls. Brotherly love among us, because we are the light, we are the salt, and how we love one another speaks volumes to the rest of the world. That we need to have a tender heart and a humble mind. As they are in sin and they are lost in sin, so was I. Who they are is what I was, until Christ came in and radically transformed my life. This is the beauty of this. So be humble when you think of these things. Whether it's the radical left or the whatever the radical right is, or everything in between, humility that says, I am a sinner who needed to be saved just as you. And beginning to give the gospel. Do not repay evil for evil. You don't get on Facebook and you don't get on any other kind of social media and take your vengeance and say, we've had enough. We're going to stand up and we're going to fight back and we're going to knock your teeth out. Heavens, no. That is not a response of a believer. We do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. When they cuss at you because you spoke righteousness, then you spoke the gospel. When they cuss at you, when they curse you, when they blame you, when they blaspheme your God, when they do all of these things of your enemy. We do not yell when we are yelled at. We simply say it with a smile and with compassion. You are lost. And oh, how you need a Savior. You are so lost in your heart and your mind, you can't even think straight. Peter says, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing from God. Number two, under our response and suffering, our restraint. For whoever... This is the restraint that we have to put on our flesh. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You know, if they lie about you, if they lie about Charlie Kirk, if they lie about so many other people, all of these things, our response is not to lie about them and to keep our tongue from speaking evil about them. To speak, what I mean by this is ad hominem. We do not demean people's character. We do not savagely talk about the way they look, even though many times the response of so many that were debating Charlie, they lost the argument. And you know somebody lost the argument when they begin to make fun of how you look, your teeth, all of these things, and demean the person that you are, is because they have no argument left. But our argument is not against the people. It's for reaching out and calling sin what is sin and calling righteousness what is righteousness. We do not skip those conversations. We have those conversations. For the eyes of the Lord, in verse 12, are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He will set his face against anybody that decides to bring evil back when evil happens. We do not do that. We bring righteousness. We bring humility. We bring the gospel and exalt him. Let them yell. Let them curse. Let them lose their minds, because we have ours. whether it's demonic. And by the way, I can't tell who's filled with demonic demons and or the between that and those who have just utterly lost their minds and their souls in darkness. I think anymore, I say both are the same. When you scream this kind of vileness toward God. And so Paul reminds us as we do this, why is the response that I need to be gentle and humble and gracious, but yet filled with truth, honest truth? Just give the truth. What you are doing is wicked. What you are doing is wrong. And you will suffer the judgment of God unless you flee to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and be radically transformed by the indwelling Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel and the word. Paul tells us, finally, in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, believers, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. You better get your armor on. You better be prepared for what's coming if you're going to enter the fray. Don't be afraid of going into the fray. You're not looking to be martyred, but you're looking to speak truth in the gospel, and you will be bold. But you better have your armor on. You better get used to being yelled at and criticized and mocked in the name of God and Jesus Christ being blasphemed. You better get used to that. And if you find that you are short on arguments, trust me, the longer you do it, you will get more experience. But you will be so confident. And even as they laugh over the body of a dead saint, Charlie Kirk, as one who is with the Lord, and they laugh and they mock and they jeer and they call for the mass amount of deaths, even of, yes, Judeo-Christian beliefs or those that are in Jesus Christ. Sometimes they can't tell the difference between Mormonism, Catholicism, and evangelicalism or whatever it may be. They can't tell the difference. But nonetheless, as believers, we know that even as they do this, we do not do that. I would never. If there was a transgender man standing before me, full surgery, yelling, I would never wish upon his death and to meet hell. I do not have that kind of desire. I desire to see him radically transformed into the image of the dear Son who gave his life that all may come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be strong, not in yourself, not in your own confidence. I don't have any. But in the Lord and in his strength and in his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, because he is active and he is a roaring lion seeking to devour you. Yes, you, me. What did he say? And remember this, please remember this. What Paul says next is incredibly important. And you say, what are we dealing with out there? Because there's a lot of conservative, unsaved people. They don't even know what they're dealing with. They have no idea what they're dealing with. For Paul said this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There was an unsaved young man who was there right in front while he had front. He was standing right near when it happened, when Charlie was shot. And he could just do nothing. When he got online, he could do nothing but cry and cry and cry. And all he could say is, something's different, but I can't put my finger on it. Something changed, but I can't, this isn't a normal, he even said it was even more than when Trump got shot in the ear. Just something's different, but I don't know where to put my finger on it. What's happening? Something's changed. And as a believer, you can look right to the truth of the Word of God and what he doesn't understand, that we are dealing with forces, not of flesh and blood, but against satanic forces of every realm, and against authorities, against cosmic powers, and against the present darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And have we not seen it in its fullest light? It has been exposed, and I don't know about you, but we are disturbed to the core of our being, of what we've seen and heard. But this is it. And even the young man that went in, went to the Catholic young kids school, and shot through the windows as they were having mass. But when you went into his room and the video shows that he's talking, he draws a picture of himself talking to a demon in a mirror. You could hear his conversation and the etchings he put on all the weapons and the bullets and all these things. And even in his writings, you could see that something's wrong with him. Something's really wrong with him. And yes, I believe deeply that he was so tortured by demon possession to the deepest core. He was possessed. It is here, it is real, and you need to understand that it goes beyond just what the people you hear, what you understand. You have to understand there is a demonicness in this country that has come more alive than I've seen, people have seen, and they don't know what to make of it. But we do. We fully understand. And how do we fight it? We fight it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you were to ever run across a demon-possessed man or woman, what do? You give the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're there. They're not completely absent. What delivers a demonic person that has been possessed by demons? It is preaching the gospel. They will only be delivered by coming to Christ. And every demon of hell will vacate their body in that instant. Be careful when you do that. Don't go looking for it. Because it is a spiritual battle like you've never seen before on your own soul of oppression. Number two, when he talks about our response, we get our response. I'm not going to return evil for evil. I will only give you that which is truth and righteousness in the gospel of Jesus Christ for the deliverance of your soul. I will love you though you hate me, though you can't stand me, though you blaspheme my God. I will continue to give you kind words and I will bless you and I will pray for you and I will do everything I can to be a witness to you. That's our response. Number two, our rejoicing in suffering, verses 13 to 17. It sounds weird, doesn't it? Who in the world rejoices in persecution and suffering? Only if you understand what Christ has called to you and the great reward there is in this suffering and persecution. Because there's a promise, number one, verses 13 and 14. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So here's the thing. Make sure that when you suffer, it is not a false persecution. Don't do stupid things and don't say stupid things. Speak righteousness. Speak Christ. If you want to kill me, if you want to hurt me, if you want to fire me, if you want to do anything to me, make sure it's on that basis. Not because I was screaming and yelling and returning evil and calling names and doing things. No, that is not the way I want to suffer and be persecuted. If you need to do that, let me do it because I was gentle and I was kind and I just gave you Christ, the most beautiful gift in all the universe. And so Paul suffered for righteousness' sake himself in this promise. And he's writing to Timothy as he is also close to his death, just like Peter. And Paul, because he was a Roman citizen, could not be crucified. He had to be beheaded by Nero, as Nero had set fire to all of Rome and then had accused Christians of doing the one that set the fire. And there was all kinds of persecutions and slaughters that were happening to Christians. And Paul is in prison at that time in Rome. And Paul says this to Timothy, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim of life, my faith, my patience, Timothy, my love and my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from all of them, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, listen to this. Indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted in some way." Verse 13, "While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, meaning the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction of me, for the training in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Well, how did he tell Timothy to respond to this persecution, to respond to execution, all of these things? He told Timothy, in this, you keep preaching. You just keep preaching. You keep reminding yourself of the faithful gospel of Jesus Christ. That is your response. You just keep going. And you keep preaching righteousness. You keep preaching faith in Christ. You keep preaching to the masses no matter what. They may hate you. They may persecute you. You may even put yourself in a realm where everybody around you, there is nobody that agrees with you. In fact, they look hungry and ready to eat. You keep faithful. Just like Stephen, when he preached to the crowds of religious Pharisees and Jews, and there Stephen, by the Holy Spirit, told them of their own sinfulness, of their own wretchedness, and yet Stephen kept going and going, and they took stones and they killed him. But before he went, there he said, I see God and I see the Son standing at his right hand. He was ready to go. And as the first martyr in the New Testament, he gave his life for Christ. Rejoice. If you must suffer, please suffer with the gentleness of Christ. Suffer with truth. Suffer with love. But when you say love, bring Christ, no matter how all of hell screams against you, you bring it. We also see, secondly, in a rejoicing of suffering, the preparation. How am I to prepare? How am I to prepare for something like this? And by the way, you can't prepare now. The only thing you can do is soak in the Word of God, walking with Christ, the simplicity, the simple ways of common grace that God has given us, even as believers. But we're walking in the simple ways of reading the Word. We're praying. We're loving the brethren. We're witnessing to the lost. All of these things. But how do I know how I will be when that day finally comes, if it comes and somebody wants to kill me over my faith and telling me that my lifestyle is wicked and it's wrong and that we need Christ, that they need Christ, and yet the response is they want to kill me. They want to ruin my life in other ways. Peter says this, have no fear of them. Don't be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. There's my heart. It's not on revenge. It's not on murder. It's not, let me get a quick one back. It's, no, let me honor Christ as the Lord as holy in my heart as all of this is happening. And this happened to so many martyrs as they were burned on stakes, as animal hides were sewn to their skin in the back and they were fed to hungry wolves. They were honoring Christ in the dying breath. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy, holy, holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that lies in you. This was asked to Charlie. He was in that circle. He put him in that position. And it was constantly asked, why do you believe the Bible? Why do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings and that only He is the way? Why, Charlie? Why? He was always ready to give an answer. Especially in the resurrection. He was an apologetic. He was becoming more and more an apologetic for the faith. Because these questions were now the main questions that were being asked of him. It wasn't about this, that, and sometimes he would joke around and who's better, Jordan or LeBron? You know, all these things, and they would have these funny little back and forth. But a lot of the questions were, why, Charlie? Why do you believe this? I would ask you one thing. They're in your face asking you that. What would be your answer? What would be the answer that we would give? So, we understand that it is Christ, that He saved us from sin, that He is Lord. But when we do it, Peter makes a very, very clarifying statement. When you give an answer, do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Paul said this in 2 Timothy, as he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 8, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." In other words, his life is going to be poured out for Christ. His blood will be spilled because of his testimony and giving the gospel of Jesus Christ under evil Nero. "And for the time of my departure has come." And this is what I love. "And this is what I want at the time of my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And I know that I know that I know that when Charlie stepped into heaven, Christ was standing like with Stephen and saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The beauty of Christ in a believer's life. Oh, we at times say the wrong thing, don't we? At times, I let my anger get away on that one. Shouldn't have done that. I need to grow and mature. And one of the things that they said about Charlie is the wisdom he gained from 18 to 31 was as if he had advanced 90 years quickly. He calmed down some of the rhetoric. "You're young, you're passionate." I get that. I still feel young and passionate. But I get that. And sometimes out of the youngness of our spirit, the passion of our spirit, sometimes we react the wrong way, we say it the wrong way. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being faithful. And sometimes when you're being faithful, you're going to get into an awkward and you're going to get into a sticky situation, but you be faithful. And the hope of your heart ought to be this, that you finish the race well. That you finish the race and that you kept the faith. Because, folks, we're watching so many of those who claim to be believers, even pastors. They've left the faith. They've denied Christ. They walked away. But us, we say, "No, I'm staying. Come hell or high water, I'm staying. I'm staying in Christ. I'm staying. I will speak for Christ. I will live for Christ. Christ will soak into my pores in every part of my way. Henceforth, there is laid up for me." And if we do this, there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to you on that day. And not only you, but to all those who love the appearing when Jesus Christ came, crucified, risen again, at the right hand of the Father, and coming again. That's the beauty of it. We rejoice in that. At what point do you kill me because you are filled with, here it is, you are filled with hate speech? You ever heard that one? Does it make you ask the question, well, wait a minute, what to you is hate speech? Because you told me my life as a transgender is wrong. And that it is sin, and that it will meet the wrath of God. You told me that my whole life and that my abortions that all these things were wicked and that God will judge. That's hate speech. Which you would say, they which called evil good, they've twisted and called good evil. That has become hate speech. Righteousness is now hate. But we know that when we respond in gentleness and kindness, we want to turn their minds, we want to turn their thoughts to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the transformation of their lives, and we rejoice no matter the outcome. Christ has been exalted through my mouth and my behavior. Lastly, number three, our representative in suffering. And he gives a very clear verse 18. He says, now look to Christ. Do not look at yourself as a hero. You're not. You're a sinner saved by grace. Do not look at yourself in some prideful way. Do not try to be a martyr. Do not try to cause something else going on. Don't do it. You're just being kind. You're being gentle, but you're filled with the truth of the Word of God. And even though men hate it, whatever it may be, remember, remember who you are in Christ and rejoice. Rejoice in all circumstances. But our representative in suffering, so he says, now we need to go back. Who is my representative? Why am I dying for this? A question was put forth. Are you willing to die for your sexual idolism? Are you willing to die for your godlessness? Will you go to death for that? How much more even a believer should say, I'm willing to die for my faith. I'm a coward. I understand that. I do not want to be killed. What I saw with Charlie, that is the most horrendous. I don't. I'm afraid of that. I have fear in my heart. But there are times when the Lord begins to speak up and I pierce through the darkness of fear and somehow the Lord gives me the strength. And He will give you the strength in that time to endure. He will. I promise. You can't imagine it now, but right now you don't need that grace. Grace comes in the moment that you need it. Our substitute, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Here the Son of God, the second of the person of the Trinity, comes into this world. He comes into a hostile world. He comes into a world he knows. If I come with complete righteousness, if I come with complete holiness in this world, oh, they will hate me. They will revile me. And even when he was born, he was hunted down by kings. Even when he was a baby. Throughout his life, he was mocked. They tried to make him look stupid in arguments. Because Jesus went into the lion's den with the Pharisees, that every time he got done, they said, he has to go. This cannot stand. He's ruining everything. Sound familiar? It's exactly today. When he entered that temple, he knew that he was entering a place that he knew he would be murdered. They lied and slandered him, saying that actually he was the offspring, that his mother had slept with a Roman soldier, and that he was not even fully Jewish. Mocking the very thing that the Spirit of God had done when Mary conceived. Christ walked right into a world that would reject him. As they tore the skin from his body, remember, they also laughed. They laughed over his dead body. Those that came by the cross as he was suffering on the cross and he's bleeding and he's dying. He's so scarred up and his skin, there's not a place where there's not red and there's skin hanging from him. There's a crown of thorns that is huge upon his head. They had torn his beard out, and yet in his most suffering way, hanging on the cross of a Roman cross as a criminal, they said. They laughed and they laughed and they said, he delivered others. Why can't he deliver himself? What's wrong with him? Ask his God to come and deliver him. See, nothing's happening. As even was taken down on the cross, they began to spread lies. This week when I was going through, and it's a reminder of our own lives, again we say that Charlie, yeah, he stepped in the fray where hate-filled hearts would laugh and jeer and try to trip him up in conversation, but he was at least always willing to have the conversation, which is sometimes makes me ashamed because I remember, not now, not a good setting, not the right time, I'm tired. Ugh. And I walk away and I think of a young man like this who was willing to step in and to do these things, and he cost his life and they killed him for it, for righteousness' sake, for the gospel's sake. And I am not, that is not hyperbolic. I have watched and watched and watched to make sure it was true. And the more I watched, the more I admired this young man. And I just said, wow, this is amazing. May, Lord, may we have young men and women of this age. May a nation finally, through this man and his testimony of Christ, rise up and begin to speak up of holy righteousness once again in a nation, of a holy gospel in this nation. May a nation finally look to the sufferings of Christ and saying, what he endured, I must endure if I follow him and I am willing. God, give me grace. If a Savior could come, because Charlie's death cannot save you. My death cannot save you. Even if we were a martyrs, we cannot save you. But I will tell you, the gospel that we believe will save you. It is Jesus Christ, and by faith in him, believing that he died on the cross, and when he suffered such a cruel death at the mocking and murdering hands of religious people and Romans, there, will you look and you will say, it was there that day he was carrying my sin. He went willingly to the cross. He could have called 1,000 leagues, 10,000 leagues of angels, and he would have been delivered, but he went. They tried to make him king early, but Jesus refused because he says, if I'm king, you're all judged. You're all going down, because then if I become king immediately, you have no redeemer. I must go to the cross that you may be saved, and that I may take your sin and become the replacement for those who have believed on my name. And I will take all your sin and I will wash it in the blood of the Lamb, and I will forgive and give mercy, and I will even account you as righteous. I must do this for my sheep, for my people. I will go to the ends of all creation to make sure that you are saved and brought to God. Wow. That's where we're to look. That's where we're to look. That's where our hearts are supposed to go, and to go deep and saying, as Christ has done, I will do. May I be God's man and God's woman in the midst of the fray, no matter how evil, no matter what goes on. May I be that person. I want Christ. I want to be that person. I want to exalt Christ among the nations. Do you ever get tired of just playing video games? Wasting time? Just going from one pleasure to the other? Wanting this and wanting that, and I wish I had this and I wish I had that, and all of these particular things. And then you, I promise you, one day you will look back on your life and go, what a complete waste of time. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But if you're still looking at that and saying, what a complete waste of time, let me tell you this, okay? And I will end with this. And I know I have preached long, but it is so important. I will tell you this. No matter how old you are, don't you ever think it's too late. Never, never, never. That's the accuser speaking into your ear saying, you've done wrong, it's too late. Oh no, a new generation that says, I put away the old things and today I start new. by proclaiming Christ, putting myself in situations that maybe are uncomfortable, putting myself in a situation of the body of Christ because, you know what? Some of you irritate me. And I'm pretty sure that I irritate all of you at times. Thank you for that. But nonetheless, we're to love each other, aren't we? Just have tender hearts. Just show Christ. The best place you could be in all the world is in the body of Christ. It equips you to go out into a pagan world and saying, they got my back because they're filled with Christ. I know I have a place that I am loved. I may go, it emboldens me to go into the fray and to proclaim Christ because I know that I am loved by Christ and his people, and we are one. We have the same mind. Let there be no daylight between us in all these things. We walk together. We eat together. We go to campfires together. We call each other. We text each other. We email each other. We do all these things because we're holding each other up, and we will together have voices that will reach thousands just in this room. There are, you know, it is the equivalent of knowing thousands of people. Did you know that? Small room, small crowd, thousands of people right here in this room. What will your testimony be? So we look to Christ, don't we? We can look at the martyr of all the saints in the world and saying, oh, why did they die? Why did they get their life? What was the point? What was the purpose? Was it worth it? Was it worth it for Charlie on that day? Was it worth it for his wife? Was it worth it for so many people? That there he was shot in the neck that day and bled out to death. Was it worth it? Praise God, every bit of it was worth it. Every bit of it was worth it. As he is in the face of his Savior, by proclaiming righteousness, whether you like the way he did it or not is not the point. I only can stand back and say, oh, but he did preach Christ. He didn't consider himself an evangelist. Just being a faithful follower of Christ. And that's what we need to do. And I will tell you this. It's worth it. Someday when you step into eternity and come eyeball to eyeball with the King of Kings, and your life was made hard because you decided to speak with gentleness and kindness, but you decided to speak all the truth of sin and the gospel and righteousness. And no matter how your life goes, when you stand in the face of Christ, I promise you, you will say this, oh, Lord, it was worth it all just to hear you tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It was worth it. I'd do it again if this is my reward. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and washing me and cleansing me and allowing to me to be a prophet of the age by proclaiming you in your holy name. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, I could go on and on and on because we're proclaiming your name. We're learning of your name in the word. We're seeing how we respond to persecution, and it is not the way the Romans did. It is not the way the world does it. They think that aggression and might and guns and words and all these things and the violence. We come with gentleness and kindness. We come armed with your armor that you have given us by grace. We know that Satan is in the world right now, and that there are people that are being demon-possessed. And there are people that are lost and so deep into the darkness of their sin. Oh, may we be the salt and the light. We who are the ones that are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And our captain, our general has spoken to go and make disciples in all the nations. May you equip us. May we be strengthened May we be empowered in our hearts as saying, if there is a life worth living, it is the life living in Christ and the proclamation of his gospel. That's the only life worth living. Father, may we do this. May we walk humbly and gently with you, because you have had mercy. We who are the one, we were once your enemies. Lord, we were the ones that were walking in darkness. We were the ones that living in the filth of sin. But you delivered us. Because when the gospel came, the Holy Spirit came in and he woke me up and he had me here, and I was changed forevermore by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for me and he loved me, shed his blood and washed me and cleansed me. And now may I bow my knee to him. Lord, I pray for anybody here that is not saved, that has never known Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day. Today they would bow the knee. Today they would see their sin. Today they would come and say, cleanse me, wash me clean. I believe Christ died for me and that he took my sin, that he rose again, that he ascended at the right hand, that he's coming again. Oh, Lord, may your Spirit do your work. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life of Charlie Kirk. Lord, I know that there will be many religions that will try to claim its name, but they all have to do is listen to what he said in the message of the gospel. It will clarify everything. And so, Father, we pray that around the world, that his life would not just create patriotism and freedom, but it would lead to salvation, the true freedom that is found in the Son. That the gospel that he preached would go throughout the world, that it would embolden young people, everybody. And many people didn't even know his name, but now it is everywhere. Oh, Lord, may Christ be exalted among the nations for righteousness' sake. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.